Hi guys, welcome back.
Welcome back. Shenanigans.
Woo! So about this refrigerator. Yes, we need to get a refrigerator for our show.
Isn't that part of the writer?
Okay, so it is, but we're probably going to want this refrigerator for every show, because ideally we would put like stickers or something from every con we do the show onto said refrigerator. So we're probably going to want a refrigerator that we can bring with us.
But that's not as fun as making them provide it.
Well, we can still ask for one in the writer, and then we get two. Then we get two refrigerators for our skit.
Two refrigerators. What's better than one refrigerator for your skit?
Two refrigerators.
Good.
I mean, that's how it would work. Then we have even more space for the offerings to the refrigerator.
I'm really excited about these offerings to the refrigerator.
I really hope that by the time Anime Iowa occurs, there are a lot of offerings
to
the refrigerator.
You guys are awesome.
Please bring us offerings to the refrigerator. We can't guarantee that we will have the refrigerator at Planet FunkCon, but we can totally guarantee we will have the refrigerator at Anime Iowa.
Hope you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Guarantee.
It will happen. I will get us a refrigerator by Anime Iowa.
Okay.
We might have two.
Maybe.
With our green M&Ms.
And our armchairs.
Yes.
Keep sending in those suggestions, guys. We're having a lot of fun hearing what people want us to have in our writer.
I can't wait till we gather enough suggestions that we can tell you what the top ones are for our writer.
Absolutely. So remember, if you want to submit any, it's podcastscs@gmail.com.
Also, if you want to send us something in general, cosplay convention related stories, crazy cosplay convention questions you've heard, really anything, you can send us to our email at podcastscs@gmail.com.
Yep, we're gearing up for that first listener episode we talked about early on, so make sure you send those in so they get submitted and put into the queue.
Yes, ideally, I would like to do our first listener episode after episode 10. That would be the goal, so please send us anything, and we will take a look.
We're desperate.
We're not desperate, but the more options we have, the better the first episode will be.
It's true, because it's all about you, and I know that you like to hear that, and pat yourselves on the back, because it really is all about you, and we couldn't do it without you.
Please make sure you include what you would like for us to call you, your social media, and your pronouns. That would be helpful. Speaking of Anime Iowa, they are working on our contract.
Hooray!
Which means we are coming back.
Ta-da!
We will be the MCs, and we will be performing live the 10-minute skit. Which means you need to attend the masquerade at Anime Iowa to see the 10-minute skit live.
But first, you need to come to our panel at Anime Iowa so you can help us write the 10-minute skit the night before.
Yes. So what we're going to do is the 10-minute skit that we perform on Saturday night during the masquerade will be based on whatever questions appear on the board during the panel the night before.
Yep. So it's a two-parter. Part one, part two. You need to be there for the whole thing.
Yeah, you gotta be there for the magic.
For the whole experience.
It's gonna be an experience.
I can't wait.
They're gonna be like, Lavi cosplay, why?
Why are you like this?
Why? Well, she asked for this.
It's true.
She cannot say, why are you like this, when she asked for this. You asked for this last year. During the masquerade, Anime Iowa attendees, and we are giving it to you.
You brought this upon yourself.
You challenged us to do a 10-minute skit, and we are going to give you a 10-minute skit.
Yep, we sure are.
Coming July 2020, Anime Iowa. Be there.
Is it July, or is that August 1st?
It's July. It's July 31st through August 2nd, I believe.
Right. So technically the 10-minute skit will happen in August.
Oh, it will happen in August, won't it?
It will.
It will. August 2020. I still think of Anime Iowa in July.
Well, that's fine.
Probably because it's our July con.
Yep.
Because we did not book anything else in July.
We did not.
We did not. Speaking of bookings, we did hear back from Anime Central, and we will not be doing the live show at ASEN.
Boo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely surprised. Anime Central does a loyalty program. 18 plus content I can only assume is difficult to squeeze in there when it's brand new. They did take our other panel, which we expected them not to take, which is the Congoer's Survival Guide.
Cranky. Okay, it is what it is.
It's more, we assumed they would stick something like that on Sunday. I'm happy it's on Friday, because now we don't have to go to the convention center on Sunday.
Well, to be fair, it doesn't make a ton of sense to have something like a Congoer's Survival Guide at the end of the con.
We used to do a panel similar to this, and they always booked it on Sundays.
Yep.
Always. Like, late on Sunday. That's when this panel always got booked, so part of the reason we stopped doing it was because it kept getting booked on Sunday really late. Well, and the other reason was our previous panel dealt a lot with mental health and physical disability, which this one deals with too. But because that was the main focus of the panel, it turned into kind of like a therapy session.
Which is a no-no.
Well, for me, being a licensed therapist, it can be very iffy on whether or not that's going to affect my licensure at some point. And the boundaries are really gray. For the safety of my license, we had to stop running that panel. But then we decided to make a fun version of that panel and talk about all the ways to survive being at a convention and being a cosplayer.
Yes. It'll be a good time. We'll have fun with it. There won't be quite the same level of shenanigans as if we were running shit cosplayers say.
This is an all ages panel.
Yes.
So this will be PG.
But we'll still have a good time, and then we'll be in the loyalty program for next year, hypothetically.
Well, yeah, ideally, maybe if we do a good job with this panel, then maybe they'll bring us in to do shit cosplayers say next year. I mean, that would be fine. However, if you're missing us at C2E2 and you still want a second chance to see us in Chicago, there is an anime convention at the end of August called Anime Magic, which happens in Schaumburg. We did submit to be guests at Anime Magic back in November, but we haven't heard anything, and I'll take responsibility for that. I also haven't recontacted them since a lot has been going on. But if you want to see us at Anime Magic, they have a guest form on their website, and you can submit us directly to Anime Magic.
Yes.
Because again, if you don't submit, they often will not consider you.
It's true.
They want to know what you, the attendees, want to see.
Right. You are paying customers, and they want to know what you want to see, and they're going to bring in the type of panels, the type of guests, and programming that you want as a paying customer so they can make you happy. So if it would make you happy to see us in person, be sure to go ahead and submit that form.
Well, and we're pretty much at this point done with trying to gather cons for 2020, especially with us going to Spain. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't mind coming back to a certain convention in the Wisconsin Dells.
Does this involve a water park?
Because it involves a water park.
I miss me some Kalahari action.
I miss me some Kalahari action too. So we have had quite a few people message us as to whether or not we are going to try to go back to DaishoCon. So we have guested for DaishoCon before. We were judges and then we were their MCs one year.
That was a good time.
Which was a great time. We would love to come back. It just hasn't happened. We have submitted to come back. They just haven't picked us. We have come to learn that Daisho relies really heavily on attendee submissions. So if you haven't been submitted by a bunch of attendees, you're probably not going to get in. So this is what you gotta do.
This is your homework.
If you want to see us in Wisconsin in 2020, I will post the link to their guest form on our Facebook and in the Instagram post. What you need to do is you need to go to their guest form. It will ask you the name of who you are submitting. You will put shit cosplayers say. They will ask what type of guest. Choose podcast. Not cosplay. Podcast. there's a reason for that. Then they will ask you for contact information, which could be our email, our social media, our website, etc. That's all they want. They just need to see the same information pop up by multiple people.
Yes.
That's what the algorithm's gonna do. That's it. We say podcast because we are moving towards submitting to conventions more as entertainers rather than cosplayers. So if you submit us as a cosplay guest, we're going to fall in a pool with a billion other cosplayers who are trying to judge the masquerade or what have you, which doesn't really match what we do anymore.
Right.
However, you can also add that you'd like to see us MC, because we would be more than happy to MC that contest again. It was awesome. And we love the Wisconsin attendees. And yes, we just have not had the opportunity to return to Wisconsin.
I know. Every time that we plan to go back to Wisconsin, our plans fall through.
We have tried so many times to go to multiple different conventions in Wisconsin and had it fall through in the past like couple of years.
Yes. Like we went to try to compete a couple times. And then there was one con we were going to go to and then it got canceled.
Oh, yep.
There's just...
R.I.P. GeekCon.
Yep, there were just so many times that we've tried to go back since the last time we went to Daisho, and it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason. And I miss Wisconsin.
I do. The attendees are always so awesome in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I heart them. I want to come back. So if you want us to come back, go fill out that guest form. Help us out.
Yep, that's your homework.
I know also the cabaret that we MC for has submitted to come to Daisho as well. So that would be pretty freaking amazing.
That would be super awesome.
If we could do that show as well. Because if we can get there in either capacity, we will try to bring shit cosplayers, say.
Yes.
Whether we come as podcast guests or we come with the troupe, we'll try to bring it. So that you can see it live. Speaking of live appearances, we will also be at QuadCon in Davenport, Iowa on April 4th. So if you want to come by and say hi. I know for sure at least I will be there. I know Ashlyn isn't quite sure yet. We'll be there at a table, so we'll be there all day to come chat and ask us questions. We'll be running a My Hero Academia panel.
My Hero is really big in the Quad City area.
Yes, pretty much. I would say 90% of the cosplay that shows up at these smaller events is My Hero, so we're gonna feed what the people want.
What the people want.
Give them some My Hero. So I'll be there as Deku. Come find me. QuadCon is a small independent comic book show. They try to bring a lot of fun events and shopping and guests. And the QuadCon at Davenport, Iowa, which is at the Gold Leaf Center, is free. You don't got to pay a dime to come to the show and hang out.
Yeah. So if you're out of town, the only thing you have to pay is gas money.
So come hang out. We'll be there all day. And it's usually a really good fun time.
Yep.
And they have a costume contest, so you can come and participate in that. I will MC as Deku.
The winners for the costume contest typically get vendor credit for the room.
It's usually about $50 in vendor credit.
Yeah, they have an adult and a children's costume contest, usually.
Yep, and you don't have to make your costume. You can just come and enter. It's very low-key.
Super chill. Time. Super, super chill.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all our updates,
yeah,
on our attempts to do live shows in 2020.
Water park.
I know, I really want to go. We've never actually gone into the water park at the Wisconsin Dells Kalahari,
which is a travesty
because every time we've gone we've been working.
Yes,
so we've never actually gone to the water park,
which is sad.
It's awful.
It is awful.
We have gone to the restaurant multiple times though.
That's because it's delicious.
And then we need a lodge room because they're magical.
That would be great.
I want to have a lodge room again and have a party.
For those of you that have never experienced a lodge room, you can book one as long as you don't take ours.
Yes. Don't take our room, please. We need that room in our lives.
The lodge room is a king bed in one room. And then the other room, they have a fold-out couch and a full kitchen.
They're amazing.
It's my favorite Kalahari room by far.
We had that at Colossal Con, right?
Yes.
Yes. I don't ever want to go back to a hut ever again.
I know.
After that experience.
Huts are travesty by comparison.
We had it at Dice Show the 1 year too, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a room party.
That's right. We had the room party after the masquerade.
And then we all went to bed. And then like an hour later, security came by and told us we were too loud. We're like, we were sleeping.
We're sleeping.
What do you mean we're loud? Well, we heard you're too loud. We're like, but we've been sleeping.
I think you have like the an wrong hour. Room.
Like, they were very mad.
They were. I don't know what room they thought was being loud because it wasn't ours.
It wasn't ours because even our quote unquote party wasn't extremely loud.
No, we're old. Our parties don't get loud and crazy.
We ate food and drank like Kalahari drinks. It's yes. Not like we had a kegger.
I mean, that's pretty much every Colossal Con after the masquerade involves large Kalahari chalices.
But typically it's like shared. You know, yes. It's not even that everyone gets their own Kalahari chalice.
No, we usually share one because I for sure cannot drink that by myself.
No.
Nor should I.
Nor should you.
That'd be a horrible plan. I'm such a lightweight.
Well, you know.
I wouldn't be able to function the next day.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. Like that time when we drank the entire bottle of whiskey during a photo shoot at the house.
What?
You don't remember? The Helsing?
The whiskey?
Or bourbon? Crown.
I didn't drink bourbon at the house.
Then I drank the entire bottle that I brought as a prop.
Oh.
Yes.
Well then.
Yes.
No, I didn't drink any bourbon.
I shared it with others. Apparently you didn't drink it.
No. I do remember the one time that I did my Tifa shoot, I drank some alcohol.
Well, I only had one glass of wine and apparently that was too much during that photo shoot. So.
Yes, you were a little giggly.
Sleep, sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to go sleep, sleep during a photo shoot.
So sexy. Napping.
You definitely don't want to go sleep sleep during a boudoir photo shoot. It's not a good look.
It's not attractive.
That's its own episode. That time we did a boudoir shoot.
Yes. Well, and like they're so, the more uncomfortable you are, obviously, the better you look. So like you drooling all over your pillow is definitely not the quote unquote asleep look you want to go for.
Tangent. We should probably get to the subject of this episode.
There is one?
Which is sticky situations. Mm. We have for you another questions episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
This one, all about our favorite product, hot glue.
Ah.
So hot glue can be a blessing.
Or a curse.
Or a curse, depending on how you choose to use it. Some people choose to use hot glue in ways that are not the most appropriate.
Such as
our first question. If you don't have spirit gum, you can just hot glue things to your body. It only hurts for a second.
Why?
I don't know.
But why?
I also know this is extremely common.
But why?
I can only imagine that this happens at con, where, like, they don't have the other products, and they decide to, like, super fast just hot glue shit to themselves.
Well, the number one thing that I use spirit gum for, historically, has been elf ears.
Right.
And the great thing about elf ears is they're shaped to an ear shape, so you don't actually have to put gum in them if you don't have it.
Typically, the hot glue thing doesn't happen with ears. I've seen it primarily with stockings. So you could get sock glue to keep your bracers or your stockings or whatever on. Like, that is the most obvious choice.
Or making sure that your garments fit.
But even then, like, sometimes your stockings will roll.
Well, yes.
They just do. But you can take toupee tape, you can take sock glue. Double stick tape even would be safer than hot gluing an item to your skin.
You mean you don't want to burn off your skin cells?
I would prefer not to burn off my skin cells.
Well,
I mean,
you're just no fun.
That would be a preference.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you're gonna burn yourself.
But it only hurts for a second.
I mean, even with the low temp, you're still gonna burn yourself.
Yes.
It's just like with all our other glue shenans. Like, if that isn't what it's made for, don't use it that way.
Please don't. Please, please don't.
And I get, like, you don't want your stockings rolling down and you don't want this or that. But even like Elmer's glue would be safer. At least that will dissolve. You can peel that off.
Right.
Like hot glue, it's going to like bind with your skin.
There is a reason why they make these adhesive products that are safe for your skin and safe for fabrics. It's because that is the intended purpose. The intended purpose of hot glue is not so that you can glue things to yourself.
Well, and there are so many options. I mean, we talked about spirit gum. We talked about toupee tape, which is a double stick tape meant to adhere a men's toupee.
Yes, please do not hot glue wigs to your head.
No! Oh god, I'm sure people have done that. And I have heard of people like using Elmer's glue to glue their wig down, which you can do, but it's really messy afterward.
Well, and Elmer's glue is washable.
Right. I mean, Elmer's glue, that's what you use on eyebrows.
Yeah.
And you can use it on your wig, but you have to be prepared for the mess afterward.
And having to clean it out of your wig.
Right. And I mean, it comes out. It's just not pretty. But I know that some people will use that for like lace fronts and stuff.
You know what would not be pretty to remove from a wig?
Hot glue.
Hot glue.
Well, also hot glue would melt your fibers.
Yes.
Like, that's why I don't understand when people hot... Well, I don't understand why people hot glue wefts in to begin with, because sewing wefts in is not hard. But when you hot glue wefts in, you melt fibers. I don't really get the appeal to hot gluing wefts in. It's not easier. It's actually like a hot mess, because you're trying to avoid the other hair. You don't want to get heated. Because heat melts wig fibers, and you're just better off sewing them in. Don't use hot glue on wigs. Just try not to. I mean, sometimes you're going to use hot glue, like when you're attaching certain things or whatever, but try sewing it in first.
Well, and not to mention the fact that your head gets hot.
Well, yes, you might reactivate your hot glue.
Yeah, so you're wearing a wig, you've glued all the wefts in, and your head gets warm from the bulk of this plastic that's just living on top of your head with your hair, and then the glue reactivates, and now you've got melted glue in your hair and melted glue in your wig and your wefts.
Well, and it also means you can't use any heated styling tools either.
Nope.
Because you're going to reactivate the hot glue and you're going to make a mess.
You don't want to melt that hot glue everywhere after you painstakingly put it in.
I don't get it. I know that, like, when you do traditional weaves, you use a glue, but it's completely different than hot glue.
It's made for that, though.
Yeah, it's not the same thing, and I think people think it's the same.
It's a product specifically made for that purpose.
Right, but it's not the same. It's not the same as the type of glue you use for a weave. It's completely different. It's not the same thing.
Nope.
Hot glue is not the same.
Please don't.
But as far as adhering to skin... You have Prozaid, you have spirit gum, you have toupee tape, you have double stick tape, you have sock glue, masking tape. You have options.
Yeah, even just generic fashion tape would be better than nothing.
I mean, my go-to is always toupee tape.
Absolutely.
Because it works for more than just toupees. I use it on my wigs all the time. I have extremely short hair, so I can't bobby pin anything. I have to use, like, a fabric wig cap, and then put tape on the cap to help hold my wig in place. And I actually have to usually resize my wigs. Because I legit have nothing to pin into. There's no hair there.
It's also sturdier than fashion tape if you're using it for fabrics.
Yes. So I have used it for stockings, for armbands, for keeping pieces strategically in place. And it doesn't seem to activate to your sweat as much as some other fashion tapes. It really, like, just deals with it.
Yep, I mean, that's what it's meant for. It's meant to go someplace that's going to be warm and to go in between your skin and a really non-breathable entity. So that's what it's made for, and it does a good job.
I mean, that's how I attach. I don't use glue for my lace fronts because I usually don't want them to stay on the length of time you would want if you were gluing them down. I actually just use strips of toupee tape.
Easy peasy.
Well, that my lace front fits really well, which is the other way you get a wig to stay on. It needs to fit.
The one thing I really like about toupee tape is that you can buy it in those pre-cut strips.
Yes.
And then you just take it off. You just open it like a Band-Aid.
Yep.
and just put it on and I mean, call it a day.
You can buy it in rolls if you want to.
It's probably more economical that way, but I just like the convenience of the pre-cut.
I like the pre-cut because it's less likely to get ruined, because sometimes they are about the size of a Band-Aid. And they will sometimes end up in the bottom of your makeup kit and all over the place, where when I had the roll got kind of, like, dirty and messed up and had some issues with that, where I've never had issues with the strips because they're fully covered on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably cheaper to do the roll, but it's been easier to do the strips.
Well, and it's so easy just to grab a couple strips and then put them in your emergency bag or your purse that you're taking with you for the day. Whereas a roll, you have to take the roll, and then it doesn't always rip really easy, so then it's better if you had something to cut it with.
I've never been able to rip the roll. I've always had to cut it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just another tool that you have to bring.
Yeah.
I'd rather just use the strips.
Yeah, the strips, I usually will have a couple on me somewhere in whatever emergency kit we have available, purse, whatever. Just in case my costume decides it wants to do something I didn't plan on it doing.
Yep.
Which is frequent.
We've actually used it to do emergency costume repairs before, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In a pinch.
That's happened.
Where popped a seam.
Yep.
Or a hem came undone or whatever. Some random stitch got too much stress on it and boop. We're like, oh, well, only thing we got is this. Let's make it work.
It's a magical tool, so everyone should get some. You can get them at pretty much any beauty supply store. Sponsor us, beauty supply store. Or toupee tape. Please and thank you. If you decide to do this, how are you going to get the hot glue off your skin? Well, I mean, obviously your thought process, you're just going to peel it off, right? But
oh.
I really like to see what Google has to say about these things.
Oh, good.
And I found an absolutely magical WikiHow article. So you will want to grab your packet of paper.
Oh, yay.
I will post the link to this WikiHow on the Instagram. Because you have to see these pictures that go with this process. So I need you to come with me.
On a journey.
On a journey. And I need you to picture this as I describe this. Its suggestion is that you run the area under cold water. So that makes sense if you were like, if you did it accidentally, obviously.
Yep.
Once it's cold, running it under cold water is not going to help you.
No.
And then they suggest, you know, you could try some olive oil to get rid of the glue, which will actually sometimes work. That's how you get kinesio tape off.
I think my favorite part about this article is that the hot glue itself looks like a dollop of sour cream. Like that it's in reference to getting it off of your skin and like healing burns, but they're showing it on like a shirt or a towel.
So they're going through how to get it off of your skin, but all the pictures have the hot glue on a shirt. So they're putting olive oil on a shirt.
I'm pretty sure that's going to stain it.
I think my favorite picture that is available is when they get to the point of putting antibiotic ointment. And the picture shows them putting antibiotic ointment onto a shirt.
They're putting it onto that dollop of sour cream on the shirt.
The first half of the picture is like a finger with ointment on it and a bottle that says antibiotic ointment. And then the second half of the picture is a shirt showing somebody putting said dollop of antibiotic ointment onto the hot glue on the shirt.
You know what I'm really disappointed about with this image, though? It says apply antibiotic ointment and a bandage. They didn't put a bandage on the shirt.
They did not put a bandage on the shirt.
They only put the antibiotic ointment on. I want to see a picture of the bandage on the shirt.
Bandage or gauze.
Ooh.
And then reapply ointment as needed.
You may also want to take over-the-counter pain medication.
For the hot glue on your shirt.
Why did the shirt not get OTC meds?
It's in terrible pain. It needs over-the-counter medication.
And a band-aid.
And a band-aid.
And a kiss.
Poor shirt.
Wouldn't that be hysterical if it said that? I mean, that's how you get rid of wax, is you add other wax to it.
Right.
Wouldn't it be really funny if they told you to put more hot glue on it to get the hot glue off?
I mean, we could test that.
That sounds like a terrible plan.
And we're going to have to test a bunch of random hot glue stuff.
I'm pretty sure that wouldn't work.
Can we test this on a shirt?
On a shirt?
Can we do this whole process on a shirt?
Oh, God.
Let's do it. We'll do a whole let's test this on hot glue.
Yeah. If you want to see us test this, let us know at Podcast SCS.
I had to dive deeper into the darkness of the internet.
Darker than WikiHow?
I went to Yahoo Answers.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I did, and I found some gems, guys.
No.
Like, gems. Ashlyn hasn't read these. She doesn't know what they are.
Oh, no.
And they are gems.
All right, lay it on me.
Okay.
Let's go.
This one, I can't. Okay. If it hurts too bad to just peel it off, try holding it underwater as hot as you can stand for a few minutes. That should make it easier to come off. The initial hot glue on your hand was worse than the water will be. Honest. Good luck.
You know what you're not supposed to do if you burn your skin?
What?
Run hot water on it.
Oh, really?
Really? You know
what?
You know why? It makes it worse.
No.
So I'm guessing their thought process is it would reactivate the hot glue and the hot glue would come off.
Right.
But so, you're going to reburn yourself.
Yes. Let's make the burn on your skin that you already gave yourself worse by running it underneath of hot water instead of just, quote unquote, ripping it off like a Band-Aid like they're suggesting in the first part of their answer. They want you to remelt the glue on your skin.
Speaking of burning.
Oh, goody.
Our next suggestion. Warm it up until it softens, then peel it off. You can use a hairdryer. Has to get quite hot, though, just shy of burning your skin.
I didn't need that flesh anyway.
Yeah. What's burning? We're fine. This is fine.
This is not
We're setting
fine.
Fires to things again.
Are we setting fire to the rain?
Sora set fire to the rain.
Can we do a let's
the
test
rain
this?
The rain is on fire.
Where we set the rain on fire.
The rain is our first clue.
For those of you that are not in the know, no. it's from a skit we terribly enjoy that somebody else did several years ago at Colossal Con. So shout out to you, random cosplayers from Kingdom Hearts.
We
still quote that. All the time.
If you are those random cosplayers, please let us know. We'll give you a shout out.
Absolutely.
Because we do still quote that skit to this day.
It makes me happy.
But everything went on fire, right?
No, it was just Sora.
Just like, Sora. Oh, no.
The castle was on fire,
yeah, too. Yeah, because we set fire to Sora, the castle, and the rain.
Yep.
Right? But the rain was our first clue.
Because through the power of friendship, we can do anything.
Well, that was the other skit. The Dora Explorer one.
No.
Which is also magical.
That was also magical. All right, what else you got for me?
So this one...
Now that we've burned ourselves a
lot. One has a potential to work, but again, I think would hurt really badly. Use nail polish remover. I know for a fact that it will work with crazy glue, so it might also work for other types of glues.
Because that's what I want to do. I want to take my already damaged skin and put acetone on it. That sounds like a great plan.
So it does work for E6000. I don't think it works for hot glue. We would have to test this.
I don't want to put hot glue or acetone on my skin, though.
We don't need to test it on skin. We can test it on the shirt.
But the whole point is you're putting it on damaged skin.
We can test it on chicken.
Chicken?
We can get a chicken.
Why are you like this?
What would work? They had raw chickens have skin on them. We can test it on chicken skin.
To clarify, Ella's talking about an already dead chicken, not a live chicken.
No.
We do not support animal cruelty on this show, such as hot gluing.
No, like a you get from the grocery store.
Elle's gonna go buy a Cornish hen so we can burn its skin with a hot glue gun.
I mean,
moving on.
Technically, pig skin is the closest to human skin, though.
Oh.
So, ideally, because that's why tattoo artists practice on pig skin first.
Oh.
So, theoretically, if we wanted it to be as accurate as possible, we would need to find a way to get a hold of pig skin.
Oh, yay.
Random knowledge.
Oh, good.
Oh, speaking of random, so people start to decide to get snarky about this as you go through the Yahoo answers.
I mean, it is the internet. What did you expect?
So I have some of my favorite snarky
please
comments as well.
Please tell me.
Slowly gnaw your arm off. Done. Then peel it off. It won't hurt. Then get your sewing needle and threads and sew your arm back on. It's like Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm gonna physically chew my arm off with my teeth.
Yes.
And then I'm gonna reattach my arm with a needle and thread.
Yes, that is their suggestion.
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily any worse than the other suggestions we've heard.
Well, this one's by far my favorite suggestion.
Okay.
I feel like Chat Noir would really enjoy this suggestion.
Oh god, it's a pun.
It's totally a pun. Very carefully. It's a sticky issue.
Ba-doom.
You can't see it, but I'm totally doing finger guns right now,
Eldest did finger guns at me.
I did. They're necessary.
Yep.
In these kinds of situations.
Goodness. He probably would have started with that. He would have been like, oh, look, my lady, this appears to be a sticky situation. And she would have gone, ugh.
That's exactly what would have happened.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That's sure something.
Well, you're not going to believe that it gets worse, but it does.
How does this get worse? We just gnawed our arm off.
We have learned why you don't want to put hot glue on your body. And last week, we talked about why you don't want to use E6000 to put a costume together. This is definitely one of my top 5 submissions of all time, thus far.
Oh, good.
And it hurts me. Because this is a real question. It's a real question.
This whole show hurts me.
Well, yes. But keep in mind, this is a real question that someone was honestly asking.
Did I mention that just because you can doesn't mean you should?
Are we ready for this?
I don't know if we could ever be ready for this,
no,
but go ahead.
We can't be ready for this one. I took on a 1-month commission for a 16th century ball gown with embroidery, and I'm looking for some advice on how to get this done on time.
I'm going
to
stop you right there. First of all, 1 month for a 16th century ball gown with embroidery.
So that's the first problem with this. And some of you may actually remember this, where this came from. That is the first problem with this. Post a picture of a random 16th century ball gown so you know what we mean, but it's a lot of dress.
Well, not to mention the fact that even machine embroidery takes a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, machine embroidery, you gotta build that file and get everything set up and then make the appliques and then place the appliques, and it's a process.
Yeah. All right, continue.
But yeah, 4 weeks for a 16th century ball gown.
Well, and that's including delivery time. Typically, if you're going to do a 1-month turnaround, they expect to have it in hand in 4 weeks, which means really you only have like 3, 3.5, depending on what kind of shipping you use.
So really, as a commissioner, they should have never taken this to begin with.
Please continue.
The other half. Also, my machine broke, so I will be sewing the whole thing by hand.
You know, they make these great things called budget sewing machines. And if somebody's commissioning you for a 16th century ball gown with embroidery, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that you could probably afford to go buy like an $80 sewing machine from Walmart.
So now we are taking a 16th century ball gown commission with a 4-week turnaround with embroidery and sewing by hand.
Yay!
Okay.
What else could go wrong?
I was considering maybe hot glue.
No.
Yes.
No.
Well, and they continued to mention, you know, because there are so many straight seams on a 16th century ball gown, that they could, in theory, put this entire dress together with hot glue.
No. You cannot.
So, of course, the responses to this were all like, oh, hell no, for a variety of reasons.
How about no?
Well, obviously, that dress ain't gonna stay together.
Ball gowns are heavy. 16th century ball gown, the fabrics you're using are gonna be heavy.
You've got, like, corseting and boning and...
It's going to be hot for the wearer. The glue is going to reactivate. No hot glue seam I have ever seen is perfectly straight and pretty looking. They're lumpy and crusty and hard and well, not attractive.
My big problem with this is they're not making this for themselves. They're being paid to make this for someone else, and they're going to use hot glue to put it together.
Yes. I would be so pissed.
I would be so mad if I was the person that bought this dress and my dress showed up and it was completely made with hot glue.
I am expecting a 16th century ball gown with embroidery on it, and you're going to send me some fabric that you hot glued together.
I mean, I can't even imagine how I would respond to that.
Crying?
Oh, for sure, because a 16th century ball gown is not cheap. The fabric alone to make something like that would be in the hundreds of dollars.
Let's see. So first I would cry, and then I would call you, and then I would call my credit card company, because what a scam.
Watch, this person did like friends and family or something, and so they couldn't do anything about it.
Never do that.
Nope. If you commission a costume, never, ever, ever let anyone talk you into friends and family. Always request an invoice.
Always, always, always get an invoice. It's the only way to protect yourself.
Because if you do friends and family, you cannot get your money back.
That is considered a gift.
Yep.
And there are no takesy-backsies.
Offer to pay that invoice fee, but make sure you have an invoice.
Yes. 100%.
Now, unfortunately, just like most of our submissions, I never found out what they ended up deciding to do. If anybody knows what they ended up deciding to do, please let us know.
Please.
Because I really want to know. I would love
a follow-up to this.
I mean, this is probably from like a year ago at this point, so I don't know if anybody will know. But I couldn't handle this when I found it forever ago.
I mean, again, it's different if you're doing this to yourself.
Right.
I can't even imagine with a rush commission like that. That's a really quick turnaround time for a commission on that type of garment. Like, unless you legitimately make ball gowns all the time, there is no way you're going to be able to swiftly turn that out in any sort of real quality.
Well, and if you made ball gowns all the time, you probably have a backup sewing machine.
I mean, that's totally valid.
But you know that this is intense when I found this on my own and then had it submitted by multiple people.
Well, that's because it sounds made up.
Well, it does, but I honestly don't think that it was.
No, I think it was like, 100% real.
I don't think this was a trolling issue.
The internet is a scary place.
It really is, guys, because sometimes you're like, are they playing? And then you find out they're really not. Like, it's a thing.
So hopefully they took the feedback they were given on this post that they made and then refunded their customer all of their money and then learned to never do this again. That's going to be my happy ending here.
Well, and it's not like we haven't made costumes out of adhesive materials that you should not use on costumes or made of costumes. I mean, we've made these mistakes.
Absolutely. Not to this extent.
No, but I mean, I super injured myself once.
I did glue my friend into a piece of her costume once. I have also sewn myself into my own costume before.
Well, we've all sewn ourselves into our own costumes.
Yeah, she had a piece, and I want to say it was vinyl, that we had to get together, and we didn't have like buckles or anything because we were like 15 and didn't know any better. So glued those pieces together. I did burn her. I'm sorry.
No, see, mine was bad because I legit had a giant bruise on my arm for like 2 months.
That takes talent.
I was doing Armitage and decided to duct tape a costume piece to my arm.
I mean, that sounds like a great plan. I can't imagine where you went wrong.
Yeah, so, you know, when I took off that duct tape, I had giant bruising because duct tape is not meant to be on your skin. I know. Shocking. I was probably like 15. So, you know.
Maybe you should have put some olive oil on it.
It might have helped a little bit, actually.
It would have.
That probably would have dissolved the adhesive.
It would have.
Because that's what you do with kinesio tape to a... you know, dissolve the adhesive.
Yeah, any sort of oil.
Will dissolve adhesive in most cases.
But you have to do that stuff before you damage your skin by burning it or ripping skin off.
Well, didn't you make a costume out of duct tape?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think they still do it. It used to be like a super popular thing that duct tape would sponsor prom.
Right.
A lot. So this was probably back in like 04. We made Final Fantasy costumes to go to like a local gaming convention. And I was Black Mage and my friend was White Mage. And then we decided that we were going to make a fighter costume for my friend. So we made him some duct tape armor and then proceeded to duct tape him into it. So,
I mean, that seems like a safe use of duct taping.
Well, yeah, we didn't duct tape him directly to his skin.
Right, like you put fabric under that.
There was some cardboard and then layers of, well, it was two layers of tape on top of each other. So the tape only touched other tape or the cardboard. We didn't tape it to his skin.
Well, no, because then you end up with a giant bruise for months afterward.
Right, or you lose all of your arm hair.
Well, that too. I mean, that's gonna go.
And rip those skin cells off.
Yeah,
you didn't need those
skin cells.
You didn't need those skin cells anyway.
I mean, we shed our skin cells pretty regularly anyway. It's just, you know, expediting the process.
More so than exfoliating.
True. A little bit more than exfoliating.
Wow.
We have learned that you should not hot glue things to your body.
Just now. We just now learned that.
Yeah, you should definitely not hot glue a 16th century ballgown together.
Please don't. Now, don't get me wrong. There are plenty of, like, good uses for hot glue.
Oh, yeah.
These are just not them.
Hot glue is a wonderful product.
It's a beautiful staple to have in your kit.
But it cracks us up the different ways that people try to use it sometimes.
Sometimes not the best ways.
No. And there are some unique, like, useful ways to use
it. Oh, yeah. I've seen some really cool stuff down with hot glue. Just please don't put it on your skin.
No like, skin and don't hot glue
first.
Your costume together.
Safety first.
Well, and even your armor costumes, you shouldn't hot glue together.
No, that stuff comes off.
You want, like, barge or contact cement.
Yep.
Which needs ventilation, like E6000. Full circle.
Don't need to get high on those fumes.
No, you do not need to get high on those fumes.
Yeah. Like, I know technically you can do these things, but you should not do these things.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
It's true. 100%.
What?
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it, guys.
Please don't. Safety first.
Safety is important.
It's not worth it. Like, it's just a costume. There are so many other alternatives to not physically injuring yourself for cosplay.
And now you know what some of them are.
It's true.
That's your lesson for the day.
Yep. Toopy tape.
Toopy tape. Yes.
Yes.
Because our Canadian friend thought it was toopy tape.
Prozade, spear gun, fashion tape, toupee tape. Those things are all made to go on skin.
And you might as well just keep them in your cosplay kit because you're going to need them eventually.
Yeah. And sock glue.
Like, and sock glue.
That's another great alternative if you're needing to roll on glue something. Sock glue. Just make sure whatever you're using is made or already approved to be safe to go on skin.
Yep.
Especially if you're going to put it. So, if you have any fun hot glue horror stories to tell us, please let us know. Like I said, we'd like to do a listener episode after episode 10. So, be sure to email us at podcastscs@gmail.com with all your fun stories in relationship to adhesives. Please do not go out and do something after this episode just so you could tell us about it.
No.
We only want the things that already happened. We do not condone future anything.
No.
When it comes to being unsafe. But if you want to share your story with us, we'd love to hear it.
We do not take responsibility for any of that.
No. You are adults and you did this to yourselves.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And if it can go wrong, it probably will go wrong. So just don't do it.
But please send us any related stories because we want to hear them.
We do want to hear about it if it did happen, though. But we're not condoning you doing it again by any means. Yep.
Yep.
Well, I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Mel.
We're Lobby Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PodcastSCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.